Hello, survivors, and welcome back to another episode of Insta-Death Survivors Support Group. It's me, Brian Hazard, your ever-eager explorer of all games narrative. And today, I'm joined by Jeremy Morgan. He's the director of Long Dog Games, and he's launching a really interesting Kickstarter campaign for a game called Pericle. I won't spoil things yet on what makes this unique. I'll let him go ahead and introduce himself, but today we're going to talk about what Pericle is and what it's bringing that's new to the RPG space. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Awesome. Thanks for having me. Super happy to be here. I'm director of Long Dog Games. We are a pretty small indie startup. We've got about 10 on our team, and for the past several years, we've been working on the game that is now Pericle Gathering Darkness. It's been a really fun journey, kind of a crazy journey, but we're really happy with where the game's at, like mechanically, and really excited about our upcoming Kickstarter.
Awesome. I'm really interested in where the idea for Pericle came from, but before we even get there, let's just give people the high-level overview and pitch, if you will. What is Pericle, and why should people care?
Sure, yeah. So the tagline that we've been using in lots of our ads is, if Dungeons & Dragons and Gloomhaven had a baby, it would be Pericle. What it really is, just distilled way down, it's a role-playing game that you play on the tabletop,
like games
that you might be familiar with, right? Kind of like Dungeons & Dragons, Pathfinder. All of the narrative elements and NPCs and things like that are hosted on an app. So it's basically the feel of like D&D or a similar game without the need of a human game master. You can just sit down and turn on the app, grab your battle maps and your dice and your set. It's a pretty cool mixture. You know, you get a little bit of the old school feel of rolling the dice, but there's lots of new school stuff as well, kind of pushing the boundaries a bit.
That's really cool. With the narrative and the NPCs being handled in the app, how did you approach making people's choices matter in the game?
Yeah. No, so this is massive, right? It's an RPG. Mm-hmm. You need your experience to kind of be tailored to you, you know, or to your party. And so the idea behind it is kind of like an extremely souped up choose your own adventure. That might sound a little low tech, but if you really think about it, like video games are like this, right? Most RPG narrative-based video games are like this. So it's those same concepts, but we have lots of different storylines kind of intermingled, and you can kind of pick and choose which paths you go down. It makes it a pain in the butt for me, the author, and for all of our software guys that are helping develop, you know, the app.
You know,
to the extent where you meet an NPC, and depending on possibly your character's ancestry, or how you respond to different questions or questions that you ask, or maybe items that you do or do not have. Your interactions with someone, even just once, depending on the person, right, and the situation, can change things way down the line in the game. Mm-hmm. It can open or close story paths that you have the opportunity, you know, to choose to go down. It can open up different, all sorts of different narrative gameplay RPG elements.
Very cool. And I guess, so, you know, I've played a lot of game books like Choose Your Own Adventure books or Fighting Fantasy or these sorts of things. And they have a tendency to use like code words or board games sometimes implement this, and they'll have like a card or something that you keep that has a word on it that unlocks things. With it being an app, is that like just totally abstracted for the user, or
it is.
How's that work? It is.
Yeah,
cool.
No, it is.
Yeah, so I imagine it just feels natural, like it stemmed from something you did before.
Exactly. One of the first NPCs that you meet is an elf, and her name is Phyra. And Phyra can be an ally, or Phyra can be an enemy, right? It really depends on how you interact with this character. But it's, so you or your party, right? It's 1 to 4 players. You and or your party make the decisions, right? How you're going to interact with this NPC. It would just be this massively branching tree. But there are so many little roots and limbs and twigs running off of it. The goal is to have it feel natural, just like any other story, any other RPG, if not smoother. Almost video game-esque in the smoothness quality. I do want to stress it's not a video game.
Right. Right. No, that makes sense. Cool. So let's focus on the tabletop role-playing game side of it.
Sure.
Then. Tell me about some of the systems and the rules that aren't the narrative structure. I'm assuming there's dice rolling. Maybe there's not. Tell me about that.
We have actually a lot of specific Pericle dice. So, you know, we get compared all the time, and it's ourselves. I'm about to do it. We always get compared to Dungeons & Dragons, right? D&D is massively popular. It's everywhere. And it's not a bad thing to compare. So D&D uses, for most of the rolling and the calculations and things, it can increase mostly in like 5% chances, right? From 1 to 20 on the D20. We use a D10 system for like probability and chance and stuff. Something that's very different about Pericle is, again, I'm going to use D&D, right? But in most games, especially D&D, let's say I wanted to shoot an enemy with an arrow. I would be rolling against my enemy's statistics, right? Well, to do that in pair, that would require me to input something into the computer, and that would require then the computer to spit info back to me. And so that just kind of muddies up the process. So instead of that sort of system, which most people are more familiar with, instead, you kind of compete against your own abilities. So if I'm a really good archer, you know, I could roll anywhere on my D10, my action dice. I could roll anywhere between like a 1 through 4 or a critical hit, anything basically that's not the one side that's a critical miss, and I would hit. But that has nothing to do against who I'm shooting at. So I could be shooting at like a Hydra. I could be shooting at a goblin, right? A low level enemy. So that's one of the tweaks, and it feels a little bit, it definitely feels a little different at first, but overall, I really like it because it helps with the sense of like character, right? Like a hero is getting more efficient in their attacks or their spells or, you know, however I'm trying to build it.
That's cool. How specifically is that implemented? Like, is it a roll under system or how are you actually rolling against your stat like that?
Yeah. Okay. So the action die, let's talk about it in depth. It's a D10. So we've got 1 through 4. Then we've got a critical hit and we've got a critical miss. And then the remaining four auto hits. So let's say I have not specced my character to be able to wield a longsword, but I grab one, right? And I swing it. If I hit any of the four automatic hits, I land an attack with a longsword. However, if I have specced my character to be good with the longsword, I would have increased one of my three abilities, the ability of might, which kind of governs multiple things. Again, if it's D&D, it's kind of like plus some of the dex, plus some of the strength. Basically, it governs your health, right? Your hardiness, your hit points. It governs not how much damage you deal, but how efficient you are with weapons. And so I would have increased that stat, my might. And if I increase my might to a certain degree, then I can land on any of the four kind of gimme hits. Or if I really increase it, I could do any of the four generic hits or a 1 or a 2. And you can go all the way up to where you're hitting 9 times out of 10 with that last chance being a critical failure.
No, it makes sense, though. So you're, basically, you have certain odds of just getting lucky. And then as you have skills, it adds on to that incrementally.
Yeah.
Very cool. We know a little bit about sort of the combat system. We know about the how the app sort of delivers the narrative, but I'm interested to know about the world and the story. So what kind of like, you know, flavor bit can you tell me to get us interested in the world?
Sure. Pericle is the name of the world, right? The known world. We call it Pericle. This first campaign is Gathering Darkness, and we are planning on at least 2 more, possibly 3 more expansions after this. And I'm sure we're going to do more stuff after that even, right? But that's just kind of what's in our near future. And so all of these expansions or campaigns are going to be dealing with a central storyline that's kind of overarching over all of them. So this first story, Gathering Darkness, mainly takes place in the region known as the Sea of Fire. It's a massive trade route through the different seas to the different landmasses of Pericle. And there are many different kind of vying powers. You could almost think of it as the Mediterranean and ancient Greece. There's almost city-state-like structures that are kind of vying against each other. There are foreign influences coming in to try to deal with merchant guilds. All of these different angles. And so that's a little bit of like the political layout. And I guess lore-wise, let's see, what can I tell you without giving stuff away? Because there's stuff tied into like the history that you're supposed to find out through gameplay. So I don't want to give away any of that. Ooh, okay, something fun. So something I'm currently working on, because the story's not completely written right now and we're still editing and adding on to it. And so something that I'm currently working on is a chapter that I'm currently calling The Ruins of Thalassus. And this is actually for a stretch goal that we have in our Kickstarter. And so hopefully my work is not in vain. And it's a really interesting region. It was once ruled, or at least governed, by a cult that worshipped Ilias, the god of knowledge and magic and secrecy. And it has now fallen, like eons ago, it kind of got sunk or dragged down into the ocean. And so there's a part in the storyline, hopefully, right, with the Kickstarter stretch goal, where you can delve down via magic into this sunken city and kind of explore the ruins. And I particularly like this because it is a pretty drastic change from the current very warlike, militant, not necessarily philosophical powers that be right now in this region. And it kind of shows what there was and what we've kind of fallen to almost, you know. This used to be a land of blossoming universities and people would come from all over the world. And there's a small remnant of that still in this great library that is in one of these city-state sort of regions. But this is kind of expanding on that whole idea.
Very cool. What kinds of characters can players expect to embody when they play Pericle?
Okay, definitely. Yeah. So, of course, we have humans. We have not just generic elves, but right now in this first expansion, we have forest elves. We have stone dwarves, and in future expansions, and even in the game before you can play and possibly in updates, we're going to be adding, you know, different ancestries that you can play as. So we've got forest elves, stone dwarves, humans. We have Everkin, which are another shorter, kind of similar to if we wanted to take ideas of like halfling or gnome, very skilled peoples. One of the ways you can progress your characters, you take on a new discipline. And so these are abilities from, I was talking about an archer earlier. I'm currently playing an archer, so I'm going to use like mini shot. I can now shoot two arrows, right? So you kind of level up like that as opposed to following a class, which is really fun and leads to really fun combinations. There's all these fun things that we're constantly kind of finding out with the characters. There's just so many different combinations. You know, thinking about most other games, like, again, I'm going to use D&D, I apologize. But in D&D, if we're trying to sneak past somebody, right, we roll a skill check. If we're trying to sweet talk a guard, right, we roll. Well, if we want to use those examples, Everkin have a substantially higher bonus to succeed at any of the skills. They're real quick, they're real smart, and they also are good at avoiding grapples because they're small and they're really lean and sprightly. And then our last standard ancestry that we have is called Odrim. They're very good at magic. It costs less experience point for Odrim to learn spells. So Odrim can learn, like, over the course of your character, right? At the beginning, it's not too apparent. But once you get some stuff below your belt, they can have, like, double the spells almost that any other person could have. So that's a really fun thing that you can do with the Odrim. Last one I want to talk about is called the Vargr, V-A-R-G-R. And we haven't playtested this. This is not mechanically sound at all. This is something that our VIPs in our Facebook group have helped us kind of come up with. And this is a Kickstarter exclusive. Vargr are going to have some sort of like animalistic qualities to them. I'm not exactly sure how this is going to play out. In my head right now, I'm kind of thinking of Beorn from The Hobbit. It was probably a lot longer than what you were expecting, but those are our ancestries.
No, it's cool. I mean, that's, to me, that's what role-playing is all about, right? Is what characters can we be and what makes them unique and what world are we playing in? Right. Jeremy, thank you so much for coming on and telling us a little bit about Pericle. I want to mention to listeners that we're not done. Jeremy is launching a Kickstarter with Long Dog Games for Pericle coming soon. And this actually isn't the first time that they've started to kickstart this. The last time go around, they ran into a rocky patch, and now they've learned some things and are going to relaunch it coming soon. So in an upcoming episode, Jeremy and I are going to dive into that and talk about, you know, what happened there, what they've learned, what they're doing differently this time around, and really exploring that. But Jeremy, for this upcoming campaign, when is it going to launch? How long is it going to run? And where can people go in the meantime to learn more?
Definitely. So it is launching March 9th. It's going to be 30 days in length. So April 9th is going to be the cutoff date whenever we stop our Kickstarter. And to learn more, you can find us on Kickstarter, but be careful, because if you just search for Pericle on Kickstarter, you're going to find two things. The first thing you're going to find is, like Brian mentioned, our old campaign, because Kickstarter doesn't take off old or failed campaigns. And that's very confusing for lots of people, so I understand. But the second thing you'll find is Pericle Gathering Darkness. That's the one you want to look at.
Pericle Gathering Darkness. And you have a website, too, where people sign up to get more information or something, right?
Yes, PericleTheGame.com.
Awesome. Well, Jeremy, I really appreciate you coming on today. Thanks so much.
You know, thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to support the show, become a patron at patreon.com/instadeath. A special thanks to our guests and to the contributors who helped make the show better than I ever could on my own. Intro music graciously provided by Jesse Johnson, aka Zenoda. Find more great music by searching Jesse Johnson or Zenoda, spelled with an X, on YouTube and most major streaming platforms. Podcast cover art generously contributed by Patrick O'Neill. You can learn more about Pat's art on his Facebook page, Pat O'Neill Art.